with no further ado, shall we call on our new senior pastor?
Yeah, you see, eh? Even the lapel mark, the battery on the lapel mark got struck. Eh? Morning. Oh, what a privilege to be here and to be with you. And like the slide said, thank you so much. Did I take all the tape off my face? Yeah. Thank you so much for last week. And it was just so special for us and for our family. It was an amazing Sunday. What a privilege. And Ellen and Shaw, you have done well. And this week, spending this week in the office, electricity and lightning strikes, and look, my heart's still beating. I was sitting in the office and that lightning struck. Hey, that scricked me properly. But we're here. So, I want to let you guys know is that I know quite a lot about music, you see. So I can pretty much find a song with any name, okay? Give me a name, and I'll sing the song for you. Someone give me a name, please. John. No, that's too easy. No, give me a hard name. Someone give me a hard. No, Andrew's easy. I'm Andrew. Janicki. Okay, I actually know a song with Janicki. It goes like this. Janicki, happy birthday to you. You see? But all the years I've kind of auditioned with our worship teams in our churches, and then I've never gotten, they always uninvite me. They don't like my voice. But you know, just as I start this morning, just a disclaimer, I want to say that we all have our own stories, yeah? Everyone's got a story, and this is not a comparison or anything else. This is just a little bit of my own story. We all have our own struggles as we live on this broken planet that we call home, and we're all in this kingdom journey together. And I share hesitantly because Jesus is present. He's already healed 5 people here this morning. You know, when I asked, like, there were 5 pockets where people put their hands up. So this is about Jesus. It's not about me. But in the same light, I think it would be good, and I processed it with the team, to just have the opportunity to tell you a little bit about myself so that you know who I am. It would be lovely to spend time with everyone, and we will in due course. But That's I kind of want to put that disclaimer in first, to say it's all about Jesus, and he's the center of it. And the second thing to say that Mandy, my wife, is also part of the story. While I'm kind of seem to be, you know, she's lived so much of this with me. We've been together 35 years this year. So we were young and dumb when we met. We were 14 and 17. And we got married 6 years later, and last Sunday, as you heard, was our 29th wedding anniversary, but we've known each other for 35 years this year. So part of this is also her story. So, you know, I grew up in a Greek Orthodox home. Grew up, my parents were really wealthy, so we had no financial problems, you know. We grew up in a blessed way. My dad was an amazing provider. And I can't remember if I mentioned this when I preached in November last year. If you want to know kind of a little bit about our lives, have you seen my big fat Greek wedding? Yeah, I did mention that, eh? Yeah, okay. So for those who weren't here, if you want to know about Mans and I, watch my big fat Greek wedding, because that was our wedding. It was just swapped around. I was the Greek and she was, you know. But kind of my first memory of church, I wasn't, you know, Greek Orthodox we were not devout. We were more cultural Greek Orthodox than devout people. But I remember my mom taking me to Rhema. If anyone remembers where Rhema started in Constantia, there in Rosebank. And I remember sitting, and the thing that struck me, I don't remember anything that was said. I couldn't tell you what Ray McCauley looks like or anything else, but I remember someone throwing crutches away. In those days, they were the wooden ones. And I remember someone getting out of a wheelchair. And I was like, okay, maybe there's more to this thing. But, you know, as life has it, my mom took us to a different church. Kind of made a commitment to Christ as a child, but it wasn't really... I kind of knew that Jesus was there, but it didn't impact my life a whole lot. And then I begged my parents for a motorbike, when I turned 16. And kind of my life with that freedom started going off in an interesting direction. And I don't have to get into all sorts of all that. We haven't got time this morning to get into all the interesting things I got up to with that newfound freedom. It did include a lot of stuff in Hillbrow. If anyone, look, this is Centurion. I don't know if you know where Hillbrow is. I'm sure you do, huh? Yeah. And some interesting places, which will remain nameless. But, you know, that's kind of, and my life went off on this interesting trajectory. And then my parents said to me, if you, the first time you have an accident, we're getting rid of this thing. And I said, okay, no, that's fine. And then I did have an accident. But it was like, you know when God just saves you? Like, I don't know how it happened. I drove into the back of a Mini that was stopped on the side of a golf course, and I flew over the car and kind of landed on my feet. Not on my feet, like did a Bola Makisi or whatever it is and got up, and I was fine. And bike went off, got repaired. My parents reneged on that and said, no, it's fine. You can keep your bike. But I didn't catch the warning in that. And a couple of days later, I left my dad's business and I was on my way to yet another thing at, if anyone knows, Whitehorse Inn. yeah, so I'm giving my age away. A few people know what, the guys with the gray hair know what I'm talking about. And I came around an S bend on the old Rustenburg Road, which is on Berry Herzog in Emerentia, and a Putco bus was coming and we collided head on. And I was 16 at the time, and I can't tell you if I was on the wrong side of, he was on the wrong side of the road. All I'm going to say is, I don't know if I'm dumb enough to ride on the wrong side of the road on S-bends on a motorbike, but yeah, what I remember from that night is the ambulances came, I looked down, this foot was up here, this foot was hanging that way. And this was all open and looked like some steak. How are you feeling? you know, I had some head trauma, broke my jaw, crushed my legs and all sorts of things. But there was friends of my mom's had a Bible study there and they started praying immediately. They didn't know it was me, but they started praying immediately because I heard that this accident happened. And right behind me came a doctor who had just come from his birthday. His mom had bought him 7 silk shirts. And when he found me, apparently he couldn't find my blood pressure because of all the bleeding. And he used those 7 silk shirts to bind up my legs. And that's the first coincidence. Then the ambulance got there and they said, okay, we're going to go to what was then Helen Joseph. What was then... not Joburg, Jen. It's now Helen Joseph. What was it called before? J.G. Stratum. There we go. Maybe I must just look at my notes, Sam. But the there was a senior paramedic, and he said, no, this guy's too hurt. He's not going to survive if we go to J.G. Stratum. We must go to the Charlotte Makwete. Yeah. Joburg Jen. So we got there. Didn't know this, but it was... 6 or 8 hour surgery. The anaesthetist at the time was actually a cousin of mine, but I was so hurt she didn't recognize me. And afterwards she came to my mom and she said she was standing there with a black bag, they were ready to take my one leg off, and another doctor came on duty and said, no, look, let's try and save his leg, because they had to do a whole lot of work here, burst my spleen and various things. That was also a coincidence. You know, my parents were wonderful people. My mom still lives with us. Everyone thinks she's going to sprout wings. She's an amazing woman. When we grew up, she used to, no one believes me, but she did sort us out. But in hospital, you know, being a typical mom, she was like, hospital food is rubbish. So I was in hospital for 6 months. She brought me food in hospital every day. And then the guys in the ward got jealous because of my food. So she fed all six of us in the ward every day. But it was during that time in hospital that my Uncle Harry visited. He was a Christian and he prayed for me. And that's when I kind of, in my head, that's when I made a commitment to Christ. I was like, okay. And he prayed and I felt the presence of Jesus. He put his hands on my leg, this leg, which was so damaged and in traction and whatever. And I felt the heat of the presence of God and I felt Jesus in the room. Then he says to me, right, the Bible says pick up your mat and walk. And I believed it. And then what happened in hospital is there were a whole lot of very well-meaning Christians with wonky theology who came in and said, well, I know you've had six surgeries in 6 weeks. I know you were in ICU for 6 weeks, but it's because you haven't got enough faith. Anybody? Okay, if you have that theology, please talk to me. We're going to have coffee. We're going to chat. Okay. But they really were well-meaning and well-intentioned. But what did it do? It served to drive me away from God. Because it made me angry. Because I'm going, I've either got sin in my life, it's a curse, or I haven't got enough faith. So the whole healing thing was on me. And I got so angry with the Lord. I came out of hospital in the January or the December or January. I spent 6 months in a wheelchair and then got onto crutches. And I spent 3 or 4 years on crutches. Because they did bone grafts and all sorts of stuff, and it just didn't want to heal. And I just got, man, you know, when you go, come on, I'm supposed to, I obviously haven't got enough faith. This God is not the God. And I got angrier and angrier with the Lord. It was around that time that I met this special lady here in the front. Jesus saved me and she saved me. I'm just going to say it like that. And we have, you would have seen, you know those gorgeous kids that were here last week? Yeah. It was Daniel's 26th birthday yesterday, by the way. So, anyway, but what follows now is man's and my life got very, obviously we got intertwined. We're together. We are one in marriage, you know. So much of what comes now, she was a part of. So this is, she has her own story and her own walk with the Lord, but some of this is hers as well. So I come out of hospital. I'm a little bit, not a little bit, I'm angry with the Lord because I'm just not getting better and whatever the case may be. And then just after my 18th birthday, my cousin, Johnny, so now cousins in the Greek is, it's like a brother. We grew up together. We're 3 months apart. He was killed in a car accident. A drunk driver jumped a robot and he was killed. And again, this is just like this God thing is dumb. Eh? I'm going somewhere with the story. You guys look really depressed. Okay. It gets better. I'm still, yeah, okay. But, you know, I couldn't understand how what people tell me is a good God would allow this stuff to happen. I couldn't understand why I didn't have enough faith or what was in my past or what curse was following me that all this stuff was happening, you know. But, you know, my life has been a little bit like a Greek tragedy. Carrying on, you know, my father was my best friend. He was a wonderful father. We were so close. We worked together. We played together. We were in business together. I mean, my dad used to drive Mandy crazy every morning, 6:45, without fail. I was at my boyki. She's like, what is your dad talking to you about every day at 6:45? Because we were in business. We had dry cleanings and what have you. So he was at the factory early in the morning. And he was kind of the kingpin of the Greek community. He was a larger-than-life, loud voice. His nickname was Fudge. You know, like the kind of thing where the kids step out of line, they go, we're going to call Uncle Fudge. And all the kids go, okay. You know? But he was just this wonderful guy. And I know, I just know that I know that he loved me so much and I loved him. We were so close that my mom actually shared with me that he spoke to the doctors when I was in hospital and asked if it was not possible to do a leg transplant. Because I was a sportsman. I played rugby and all sorts of things. And he said to him, he said, no, no, just give him my legs. I'm happy to have, you know, like. And then he wasn't a Christian. So my mom prayed for him. My mom's been a Christian since 1970. She prayed for 27 years. 27 years for him to come to faith. And on the Tuesday night, he came to faith in repentance and tears with my sisters, on his knees, weeping before the Lord. And on the Friday, he was murdered. So, this does not help your relationship with Jesus. Just so you know. We go, now I'm going, praise God. Then I'm going, this is a dumb idea. Yeah? You know, I'll never forget that phone call. It was five in the morning because he was at the factory early. Got the call. I picked up the phone and they said, it was the police. They said, Mr. Christie, can you come through to the business? I said, sure. What's going on? No, Mr. Christie's been shot. I said, he's okay. They said, no, he's dead. Can you come, please? You know, and I get there and under the, his body's under a sheet because it's a murder scene and there's all this blood. And all you want to do is sit on the floor and hold him. I mean, I love this guy. And then my sisters walk in and they go, it's going to be okay. He gave his life to Jesus. Now, I'm so grateful. Then it did not help my cause. You need to know that, I don't know if you understand where I'm going. I don't know if anyone's had this. Okay, a few people are nodding. Okay. So, but you know, I just got so angry with the Lord. I was like, what is up with this, you know? And my sister's going, no, he's going to be fine. I mean, not he's going to be fine. It's okay, you know. I'm sure you've even had that at like a funeral. You lose a loved one and someone comes and they goes, it's okay, they're in a better place. I'm like, you know, this is not helpful. I know they're in a better place, but it would be nice if they were here with me too. Yeah? Anyway, that's a sermon for another day. So, yeah, I was not on speaking terms with the Lord for a long time. My neighbors must have thought I was crazy. You can ask Mandy, walking around 3 o'clock in the morning in the garden, shouting at the sky, kicking bras over. And I used some language to the Lord that I'm embarrassed about now. And I try to knock him off his throne, but he remains on his throne. As hard as I tried, you know, I literally said, come down here, stop messing with me. I can't for Joe Bluxham. Sorry, can I say that? Am I allowed to say so you actually stuck with me now. Sorry, yeah. Okay, my wife's telling me I'm not allowed to say that. Sorry, guys. Okay. I apologize. Forgive me if I've offended you. Okay. Alan said it's okay. My wife said it's not. I listened to my wife. So, no, but I was, you know when you're so angry with God, and I knew that there was a God. And that's the weird thing. I knew that there was a God, and I knew that he had something for me to do in this life, but I needed God with skin on so I could. I mean, it was, so Wayne Bauer from Hillside, my mom was at Hillside Vineyard. We had our pizzerias still, had some restaurants and amongst other, some of the businesses we were involved in. And she brought Wayne to come and pray in the shop. But I was in the place, if you said grace, I'd leave the table. If you opened your Bible, I'd walk away. Yeah? I mean, I was not happy with the Lord. So she brings Wayne in, and he still tells the story. He says he came to pray, and there was this big Greek guy glaring at him from behind the counter. Like, he said he felt so uncomfortable. He's never felt that uncomfortable praying. He was like, oh, Lord. He was praying more for his health than anything else, I think. But we're good friends today, okay? So don't worry about that. But then God is a God of setups, or I think my mom might be, she might have set this up. My mom, eh? Yeah. So Costa Mitchell, who was here last week, remember, was our previous national director, and actually a Cypriot, because our family's originally from Cyprus, evangelist, speaker, author, and what have you, lives in the UK, J. John, who was speaking at the national conference, Here they come to the restaurant for lunch. So my mom goes, do you know who that is? I said, no. She said, that's Costa and Jay John. I said, okay, who's that? She says, no, Costa's this guy and Jay John's this guy. And I looked at it and I didn't know, because I mean, my context was Greek priests, okay? So I didn't know that a priest could sit so close to a pub and eat pizza and have a beer. I didn't understand that. But anyway, so being the good host, I thought I'd better go and talk to them, and I just started chatting. And Jay John invited me to church because he was speaking at Hillside the next day. I said, no, I don't do church. But he kind of... He Christian Rambo'd me, I think that's the term, okay? I'll just leave it at that. And I said, okay, look, I don't do church, but church for me was that building with the pews and all that. He says, no, it's in a school hall. I thought, okay, it's not church. Seems like a decent guy. And he also had the same, very similar story to mine. His father had passed away, also married an English lady, all that kind of stuff. So I thought, okay. And the Lord did something there at Hillside that morning. And as I began to explore what that means, what the Lord was doing, let's see if this is going to work. That scripture, the Lord burnt into my DNA. It was the first scripture that I like read and I was like, yo, this is it. This is the deal. Actually, this is what God's calling me to. You know? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I read that and I wept, man. And anyone, you will hear me talking about this scripture all the time. And I will keep raising this flag because I believe this is what we call to as Christians. Yeah? This scripture has formed and informed my life. And I'm not going to preach out of it. That's next week's sermon. But I didn't know that it was central to the Vineyard as a church. I didn't know. Like you know when God just does it and you don't know. It wasn't out of a textbook or it was out of the Bible. And it took a whole lot of moaning and screaming and fighting with the Lord and healing. But I received healing for the pain. You know, two defining moments that I can share with you. The one, I'll never forget, I saw a friend of mine in Cleveland at his factory, and I drove onto the M2 to come home. And as I drove onto the M2, I had a vision. Now, I can't tell you if the vision was 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 1 second, but I can tell you the picture. So now, you got a picture of my dad, hey? Big Greek guy, loud voice, big mustache, snorer, you know, like a strict guy. And I was driving and I just felt the peace of God come on me. And I looked and kind of at that level was my father sitting on like a ledge and kicking his feet like a child and smiling down, but completely carefree. Like kind of just going, it's going to be okay, my boy. And God's peace came on me and I wept and I worshipped all the way home, but healing came in that moment, you know. God is so good. He delivers us from all these horrible things, you know. And this is kind of my God and this is your God. I again was sitting in Hillside and Costa comes up to me, Costa Mitchell that I was talking about. He says, will you come to Zimbabwe with me because we need your car? You see, now remember my context, okay? These acts are sneaky, man. Like if a Greek priest asks you something, you do it. Do you know what I mean? Like I have no frame of reference of missions or going away. He goes, no, we need you. So now the priest is asking me, I'm going, babe, I better go, you know? So anyway, we go to Zim and that was the second kind of hugely defining healing moment. There was a man by the name of Andy Shaw who planted the Vineyard in 1996 in Harare. And he wrote a song. He was a songwriter as well. I mean, we might have done it in this church. Only you. You know it? Only you I will live for. Okay, I can't sing. Only you I'll die for. Okay? But 3 weeks after he wrote that song, he was murdered. So Costa takes me to, because he used to go and sit, if you've been to Zim, there's these huge flat rocks these happen to be by a dam, and there's a plaque on the side of the rock where they found Andy's body under leaves. And I walked up there and God undid me. Have you ever been undone by the Lord? Like it's the only way I can put it, I was completely undone and put back together at the side of that memorial next to a lake. And the presence of God was so powerfully on me. His healing was so powerfully on me. I couldn't drive for like 4 days. Costa had to drive my car around. And for 6 months afterwards, I continued to have Holy Spirit crunches. You know what a Holy Spirit crunch is? You know, have you seen people, they're like standing there and God begins to come on them and they go, oh, like that. Huh? It was the most ridiculous thing. I'm standing in Pick and Pay and I'm like, oh. And the guys are like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like putting petrol in my car. Oh. But just at God's presence, just was it was such a powerful thing that the impact of that, the presence of God, lasted 6 months, man. It was the most amazing thing, but God set me free. On the way back, Costa said something as simple as, Andy, why don't you start a small group? I said, what's a small group? He said, invite your friends to your house and teach them stuff. I said, he said, teach them what? He said, no, well, yeah, some stuff with VBR, Vineyard Bible Institute. So this goes back far enough that I remember my student number was 9. Okay, STU0009, okay. And I chatted to Mans, and she said to me, oh, that sounds cool, because you know what? This whole thing is her fault as well. Because I was not interested in church. She says to me, no, let's go to church. I said, I'm not going to church. She said, no, let's go to church. I said, no. You know what the Alpha course? Anyone done an Alpha course? Yeah. So, sneaky, huh? She says, no, it's 12 weeks. I said, I'm not doing 12 weeks. You must be joking. I'll go to church 12 times a year. Now you're asking me to do a course 12 weeks in a row. So she says to me, I tell you what I'll do. There's a Greek restaurant called Greek Sizzler, and their kitchen closes at 9:30. So I will buy you dinner every Wednesday night after the Alpha course and a bottle of wine. You see, God gives you these women and check, and here we stand. So she drags me to church, she drags me to the Alpha course, and then God does all this stuff, you know. But we invited friends to our home within 18 months at Greenter Church, a beautiful, precious church. We planted Willow Hill at LaSalle College, a Catholic college. After 3 years, the Lord opened the door. We were 15 years sharing a facility with a Dutch Reformed church. But you never kind of get there. You know, we're in the Dutch Reformed church, a nice church, 4 worship teams, the whole thing, and then we get a call and the guys go, you need to move out. But we had already planted a church at Oakfield. So I said, okay, guys, the Lord hasn't left us homeless. It was 2015, so we moved there. But we moved from that type of a larger church with worship teams to like maybe 30 people with one worship leader with a keyboard from 4 worship teams, because it was 20 Ks away. It was far. And it was a process of rebuilding. But, you know, we do this for Jesus. And I've done my best to live those words out. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the prisoners, release for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And gradually, as I've pressed into that, my life motto is this. It's kind of been distilled all these years. You know, we've got vision statements that are 25 pages. I have a one-liner. It goes like this. My life goal is to know him more. And as I take his life to be my own, to make him known. That's kind of the deal. You know, if you want to know me, that's what it's about, you know. And it's not that life has been perfect since we came to faith, since we planted churches. Actually, lots has happened. Mans has lost a sister, heart attack in bed at 44. I lost a sister to breast cancer at 33, who left us a 4-year-old, who's now 20, who lives with my mom and us. Life's not perfect, this side of the curtain. But for better or for worse, you guys are stuck with me. So everyone said, how do you feel about this morning? I said, I'm fine. I can say whatever I want because it's a done deal. But so thank you again for giving me permission to lead here, to love on you, and to just, you know, the deal is to see you come into the fullness of who God's called you to be, isn't it? It's not about the stage. It's about God's people. It's about you growing and becoming everything that God has called you to become. You know, I never thought, I mean, I'm not an intellectual. I haven't got a brain cell. I love people. My wife's shaking her head at me again. There's going to be roast priest on the way home today. I can see it. Huh? But, you know, I never imagined that. I'm just not that type of person. I'm restaurant. We do this. We do that. But you know what? God has, in this relatively short space of time. Okay, well, it's a long time. But, you know, I'm now privileged to be here with this wonderful family. I serve on the Vineyard National Leadership Team. Earlier this year, was asked to lead Vineyard Missions Africa, which is to about 30 nations, and was in Nepal earlier this year. I've been invited onto the Global Missions Team, Vineyard Global Missions Team, which is to about 110 nations. And you know, I don't know how it happened, but I actually even managed to get a master's last year. Who would have thought, you know? But all this to say, good people with me and Jesus. And you know what, eh? The same Jesus who got me is the same Jesus who can get you. So you're kind of getting to know me a little bit. And I want to close with a scripture. And it's this. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Yeah, friends, let me say it to you this way. If you are breathing, you are going to go through some stuff. I think everyone's breathing. There's some people who've fallen asleep, but they're still breathing. Yeah? Okay? Even if you're breathing, you're going to go through a trial. Jesus told us as much. But if you're going through stuff, what I hope you take away, apart from kind of maybe hoping to get to know me a little bit this morning, is persevere. 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 Because if you persevere, it will build character. You know, and I don't say that lightly. You know how many times I've looked at the sky and I said, Lord, I have enough character. Lost my 8. Can I not have some peace for a few minutes, please? And then I come here and I get struck by lightning. It was like that lightning strike was outside my office. I'm telling you, I jumped this high. Apparently, I need more character. But you know what? when you persevere, and that character will produce hope. And you know what hope produces? Robert Morris said, I heard it this week and I loved it. You know what hope produces? When you do that, when you rejoice in your sufferings, when you persevere, when your character is developed and you start to develop hope. You know what hope produces? I've never heard this before, but I loved it. It produces kingdom destiny. Hope produces kingdom destiny. Can I say it again? Hope produces kingdom destiny. Hope produces kingdom destiny. So I'm introducing myself to you so you get to know me a little bit. But also to say that, you know, so often our experiences define us, don't they? It was true for me. My experiences defined me, and I started to develop a victim mentality. But, you know, it was my accident, my surgeries. You know, I've had 60 surgeries. Now I'm a victim. No. And these things begin to define us, but actually we need to let Jesus define us. You need to let Jesus define you. You know, and as I've walked closer and closer with the Lord, things have changed. And I've become more of who God's called me to become. And I'm still in the process of becoming. Okay? We all are. No one's there. Yeah, I know you think Alan and Charles are perfect. They're not. Only Charles. Yeah, she's closer to perfect than Alan. Yeah, no, fair enough. I've been in the office this week. I agree. But as you focus on Jesus, could you press into becoming more of the person God's called you to become and not be defined by your experiences or your achievements? Okay? Being a person defined by Christ, that's the challenge. That's kind of the deal, you know? And that's been the thing for me, and that's been my experience, because we've been through some stuff, and all that stuff started to define me. But as I encountered Jesus and walked closer and closer with Him as best I could, this is not always easy, friends. It really isn't. Sometimes it's difficult. That's the challenge. So persevere, because if you persevere, your character will be developed. And if your character is developed, it'll produce hope in you. And if you have hope, it'll release kingdom destiny in you, and that's the deal. Oh, did I press something? No. No, I saw a change there. I thought a change there. I don't know. I just work here. But why don't we stand? Let's pray. And may God release kingdom destiny over us. Amen. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and move in power in this place? Lord, you are wonderfully here. And Father, forgive me if in any moment this morning I made this about me. It is about you, Jesus. Be glorified in this place, Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, come and have your way here this morning. Lord, help us to rejoice in our sufferings. Help us to focus on you. Friends, if you are going through something this morning, it's time to bring it to Jesus. If you are struggling and if you are stuck, it's time to choose life. And you choose life by choosing Jesus. You are not defined by your circumstances, by your illness, by your health, your wealth, or anything else. Be defined by Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you move this morning? We welcome you in this place. We say, come, Spirit of God. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Spirit of God. You know, you may begin to feel a sense of peace over your body. You may begin to feel tingling in your hands. You may begin to feel electricity flowing through your body. You may begin to feel a bubbly excitement within you. That's the Holy Spirit. Just say yes to Him. You know, as I'm looking out, I just see God resting on people. And some people are beginning to sway, some, you know, fluttering. Some people, God is moving. So Holy Spirit, would you come in this place? Pour out your presence over us. Give us the courage to persevere through our struggles. That you would pour out hope over your people here this morning. And that the fruit of that hope would be kingdom destiny. Release kingdom destiny over us this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, Lord. If you're feeling a kind of a bubbling up, you're feeling like you want to speak out something, that could be God pouring out an anointing over you and a gift of tongues. You know, so I want to invite the ministry team to come up. But it's not just about the people in the front. It's about wherever you are. If you're feeling God moving on you, receive what God is doing. So Holy Spirit, would you move in power over your people? Would you release kingdom destiny? That word that came from the prayer meeting to the word in the worship to after that to now. God is wanting to release kingdom destiny. New season, refreshing and anointing. So Holy Spirit, would you move in power? The Lord's moving on a lady here in the middle. Come Holy Spirit, we say more Lord. Move in power on that lady in the blue. Come Lord, more. More Lord, just receive anointing. Let your kingdom come. There's a lady over here in the black. Receive the Holy Spirit. Move in power, God. Move in power, God. Over here in the front. We release your kingdom in this place. We release your kingdom in this place. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. There are some that are holding each other. Just enjoy God's presence and what He's doing. May He renew love and restore your relationships. May He bless you. God's moving over here to my right. Come, Spirit of God, in this place. Have your way. We're going to just, let's not rush what God is doing. Where you are, Spirit of God, blow in this place. Blow now. Blow over that lady and this lady over there at the back. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. I say to you, church, receive your kingdom destiny this morning. Receive your kingdom destiny this morning. Come, Holy Spirit.
That'll ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Together. And if you feel you'd like to come up for ministry, for someone to pray for you, please come up. Just come and allow God, allow God's people to bless you and bless what God is already doing in you. Just come up and receive what God has for you. If you've never done this before, it's okay. It's a safe place. No one's going to do anything. No one's going to push you over. We just want to bless what God is already doing in your life. So come, Holy Spirit.
Compare, you're a living hope.